It's what I sense in my spirit, that we should pray over each other concerning healing. And I see us all coming up front here. If you want to come up front here, I just see us all gathering up front here. That's what I see. And we'll see what God wants to do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
There's power.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes when we step forward, it's an act of our faith. It's not always, we don't always have to come up front because we have this great need. But when the Spirit of God shows us something, then we take just a couple steps, is showing that we're acting in faith to receive what He has for us. So, Psalm 103, we're taking our medicine again this morning. And there's stuff going around, and it's a thing that lingers for people. But we can stand against that. And as we're praying, we're going to pray for Donna, because she has been dealing with it for over a week, and she didn't feel strong enough to come this morning. And is Pop doing all right? Pop's still dealing with it as well. And if there's others, as we pray, we're going to lift them up to the Lord. But Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget His benefits. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Tender mercies.
He fills my mouth with good things. He fills my mouth with healing, so that my youth would be renewed as the eagles. So as we are here together, you can kind of lay hands on each other if you so desire, regardless if you're sick or not. But we're not just praying for the sick, we're praying against this thing. And we're not going to let it come into our homes.
No enemy.
Over this congregation, we claim healing and health over every person that's a part of this congregation. So let's just lift our voices in the spirit, first of all. Modi alaraka hi sente, non delege de sente, irike po shanta, mind delege de sente, ikemote di sente. Oh, la da ba shinte, there is power in your name, Lord. Power in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Lord, irike keke bo shanta. Nine dollar reggae de sente e de pechente. Oria la da cabo shanta, papa ba shanta. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we believe. We believe there is a hedge of protection around each one of us, around of our families, around the people of Abundant Life Center, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for healing and outpouring of your spirit and healing and health, divine health in our lives in the name of Jesus. The enemy cannot steal, he cannot kill, he cannot destroy, because we are the Abundant Life Center and he has given us life more abundant in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There is power in the name. Every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. Every flu, every fever, every cold, every symptom must bow to the name of Jesus. To the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over any spirit of infirmity. You cannot come into our lives in the name of Jesus, the lives of our families, our children, our grandchildren, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Now just drink it in. Drink it in. Oh, we hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We glorify your name. Father, we breathe it in. Your presence is within us. Glorify your name, Lord. Healing and health in the name of Jesus. We especially pray for Donna. We pray, Lord, you administer to her health right now. In the name of Jesus, we minister. We especially pray and lift up Pop. We thank you, Lord, that right now he is sensing the healing power of God flowing through his body in the name of Jesus. And any others, Lord, that would be dealing with this crazy thing that is a part of this congregation, we pray right now and we believe right now that your healing anointing is flowing into their lives in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glorify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, greet each other before you go and sit down. I know there's other things sometimes that we do, which I think it all flows together, but it's not necessarily always what I call the sermon. But we just want to be open to the Spirit of God. And I felt this morning I wanted to talk a little bit about the value of the Word. This is not necessarily my sermon, but maybe part of it. The value of the Word, or the Word of God in our lives. And I just want to read a few scriptures in that vein. Do y'all have a nice holiday?
Yes.
Huh? I mean, I'm glad the holidays are over. We had a great time, but it seems we had a lot of parties and hosted a lot of parties this year. And we're like, we're glad January is here. So, but we had a great time. And I'm believing that most of you did as well, probably all of you. Family time and so on. But, you know, as we enter a new year, I think I mentioned it last week, sometimes we make New Year's resolutions and we do all these different things. And I'm not saying you can't do them, but I believe for me, it's always a time when I can kind of evaluate the commitments I have to the Lord. Maybe you had a rough year and it's kind of, okay, let's turn a new page and things like that. Even though the next day it's still like December 31st and everything, not everything changes on January the 1st. But maybe it's a shift in our attitude or something. It helps us to make a shift in our attitude, which is good. So we want to recommit ourselves to the Word of God. You know, Abraham, different times, he built an altar unto the Lord. And you read that through Genesis, that when something significant happened in his life, he would build an altar unto the Lord and offer up sacrifice. And I also see that as he made a renewed commitment to the Lord. And so let's make a commitment again to the Word of God, that the Word of God is our foundation. And we will follow the truth of the Word of God. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. When I was a Sunday school, I didn't go to Sunday school when I was a kid because I was Amish. We didn't have a Sunday school. But if you want to memorize the scripture, you know, Psalm 119 is like, I don't know about that. I'd rather do the shortest verse in the Bible. That's easy to memorize. The shortest verse is Jesus wept. That's it. That's the shortest verse. But Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It has 150. Let me look. How many? Help me, someone. 165? Actually, it has 176. That reminds me, I read something this week that was funny. This pastor stood in front of his congregation and said, next week I'm going to preach on lying. And so he said, I have an assignment for you. I want you to read Mark chapter 17 this week. So the following week, they were all together, and he said, How many have read Mark chapter 17? And it says every hand went up. He said, I'm definitely going to preach on lying today because there is no Mark 17. Anyway, I thought it was funny, even if you didn't. But Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It's what the Word of God will do for you, for us, or for a person. So I have a few highlighted, and I'm just going to read them. And you probably won't have time to look and follow along. I'm reading from the New King James. But just listen to them. It says in verse 9, well, I'll do first, verse 1 first. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. The law means the word. Precepts, commandments, the law here, all is the word. You could actually substitute it. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies or keep his word. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. The word of God helps us to walk in his ways. If we're full of the word of God, we will walk in his ways. Then in verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? We're all young. Some are younger than others, but I still consider myself young. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The word of God will cleanse us. Are you following me? Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word I have hidden in my heart, so I will not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Statutes, we could say, teach me the word of God. And we know that happens by the Spirit of God. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. To me, this is a person who is depressed or a person who is down the dumps. And here it says, my soul clings to the dust, but revive me according to your word. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts or your word. So shall I meditate in your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Yes. Sometimes people deal with depression, maybe all of us from time to time. Or we get to the edge of that in discouragement and so forth. But it says, strengthen me according to your word. If you minister to people who are depressed, give them the word of God. It'll bring them out. Then we have 31, turn away my eyes. 37, rather. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. 40, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. 58, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Not according to what other people think. Not according to his judgment at this point. But be merciful to me according to your word. 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. How much do we value the word of God? 105, of course, is a favorite to a lot of people. And we usually talk about this verse when we're talking about the leading of the Lord. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Are you here? 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments. 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I mean, David, he was persecuted without a cause, but he looked to the word of God.
Yes.
Again, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Verse 165, one of my favorites in this chapter. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace have those who love the word of God, and nothing causes them to stumble. Verse 169, give me understanding according to your word. So we commit ourselves again to build the word into our lives, that it is a foundation in everything that we do. And we can expect the blessings of God to be poured out in our lives in 2026 as we make the word of God our foundation. Are you here? Amen? Hallelujah. I just felt that the Spirit of God wanted us to hear those scriptures and together make that kind of commitment again to the Word of God. Now, in your bulletin, Donna wrote something about giving. We have an opportunity that we talked about a little bit last week. Alan is going to Sri Lanka. How many times? How many times you've been there?
Started in 117 and missed a couple years from COVID.
So maybe 6-7 times? Maybe 10. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I know you lose track. Because I've been to some countries many times, and I don't know exactly how many times I've been there. But we again have the opportunity to support the mission in Sri Lanka. And we thank God that we have these kind of opportunities to reach into the world. And it just, you know, as a congregation here, we have reached to share Sri Lanka. I was going to say Sierra Leone. You have in a sense because I go to Sierra Leone a lot. But in the past, it was Sri Lanka and India and Nigeria and Tanzania. Sri Lanka, India. Who's in India? Sharon Ministries?
Yes.
That's in India.
Israel Shepherd.
Jebarash. And Sri Lanka is Pardeep. Pardeep. See, I'm still learning. I want to go with him sometime to these places because I always love to go to new places. I've been to Tanzania before, but not at the place where he goes. I've been to India many, many times and never been to Sri Lanka. But Alan is, and then we have Nigeria, Brother Ima and Sister Chinyere. Of course, we've been involved with Ima and Chinyere since 1980. We had a training center in Mount Joy, and they came, him and Ima and Chinyere and two other people came to the training center there for 9 months. And at that time, he had an evangelistic ministry in Nigeria, and God had spoken to him and said he needs to not just evangelize, but also have discipleship. So they came for 9 months, and then we went back over. I was there for a month. When they went back, we started training centers there. And at one point, I don't know how many students they have not now, but they've been running like 1,000 students, I think. I haven't heard recently. And then from that, they started many, many churches and just maybe some of you are aware, a couple hospitals there. A We Care ministry, huge. It's a huge ministry. They now have a college, I think a medical college as well. And Dr. Jude is the number two man there. We got to know Dr. Jude. I don't know if you would know him or not. But anyway, we have been involved there with Nigeria since 1980. And it's interesting that you're also involved, that you've been involved with HEMA. I need one of those little things to keep it in my mouth. So we have opportunities. Different congregations have different opportunities to reach in the different parts of the world. Thank you. I'll make you all thirsty. So like I was saying, we started receiving offering for this trip last week. We have a box in the back that you can put your checks in. Your checks need to be made out to Abundant Life, and then just put in the memo Sri Lanka. Am I right, Diane? Am I correct? Sri Lanka trip. And we are helping Alan with his expenses. The trip is already, the airfare is already paid for from the church funds, mission fund, but he needs $3,000 to take care of his lodging and his food. And we've received 850 so far. 850 for the first week. And you're leaving when? Middle of February?
End of January,
so in a few weeks. And then whatever's left over, you can read it in your bulletin in what she wrote. We want to help Pradeep do 3 pastors' conferences in 3 different parts of the country. And I'll tell you, that is one of the best investments we can make, I think, is when we help train and raise up leaders in a nation or in different areas. And so it's estimated for the 3 pastors' conferences that he would need about $1,800. So we're believing together. We put our faith together. You do what God asks you to do. And no pressure, but just do what the Spirit of God tells you to do. And God is going to continue to work from this congregation as we pull together, as we unify in the things that he wants us to do. And as I have said many times, this is a very generous congregation. I've already learned that by what we have experienced in the past here. And we will continue to be a generous congregation. Because as Donna wrote here, when God has a purpose or a plan for us, as a congregation, as an individual, he will always provide the resources for it as we move in his timing. And he uses people to do it.
Yes.
I've never seen where God just dropped the bag of money right here in front of us. I've never seen him send a cow or something with a bag of money in the mouth, or even, well, he's done it in the Bible. He had a fish, you know, with a coin in it. I'm not saying God can't do that, but I haven't seen it because God works through people. Amen. Are you awake here this morning? All right. So when we give, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, even when we make announcements like this, we teach as we're making these announcements as we go to the Word of God. In verse 6 says, "But this I say," and he's talking about giving. "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Simple principle of sowing and reaping. One person put it this way. He said, I shovel my giving. I use this shovel for my giving, and I shovel it to different things. But he said, God always shovels it back with even a bigger shovel than what I have, because he's a generous God. Sowing and reaping. I have farming background. So we put 1 kernel of corn into the ground. 1 kernel. That grows into a stalk. 1 kernel grows into 1 stalk. And that stalk has an ear on it, an ear. And how many kernels are on an ear? I don't know. Hundreds of kernels from one. It's multiplication. There is stalks that sometimes have two ears. So it's a double portion. And that's how sowing and reaping is when we sow and when we reap. We expect a harvest. And we're not just talking about money. We're talking about meeting people's needs. We're talking about whatever God has us to do. And if we sow, then we can expect the return on it. We sow from a heart of love. We sow because we want to be involved with Alan. We love him. We wouldn't sow if we wouldn't love him. I don't think anyway. No. Because of our love for what God wants us to do and our love for each other, we sow into each other's lives. And even as a congregation, because of our love for missions, our love for people in other countries and so on, we sow into those things. And the Bible is very clear about the principle of sowing and reaping. Brother Hagin used to always tell us this. He said, if you follow after the Spirit, he'll make you rich. Now, sometimes people think, well, you don't think you should, we shouldn't think in natural terms like that. But it works in the natural and in the spiritual. There's a lot of unbelievers that are very wealthy. And if you look at some of their lives, they have been givers all their life. Are you hearing? So never take away from your faith, because when you sow, we expect the harvest. When we put that kernel of corn in the ground, we expect it to have a harvest that fall. And we would go out and bring in the harvest. And I think it's a spiritual principle. It is a spiritual principle that will work in our lives. So, again, we're not necessarily just talking about money and so forth, even though that's a part of it. You're all just looking at me. It's what the Bible says. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace. God is able to make all grace. As I sow, God is able to make all grace abound towards me, or towards you, it says here, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. So I encourage you to sow as the Spirit of God shows you, and then you can expect His grace to have all your needs met, and that you may have an abundance for every good work. I think it's in the Thessalonians, it says that's why we work. We work so we have something to give.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Psalm 37.